I want you to open your Bibles to a couple of places here tonight. We'll start in Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Revelation 2 and 3 contain the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, of Turkey, and what is today Turkey. I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 7, the Bible here says, "He that hath an ear, let him," what's the next word? Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want you to look, please, at verse 11. The next letter that was given starts in verse 8, the church at Smyrna, and in verse 11 he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then in verse 12, we have the letter to the church at Pergamos. And in verse 17, when he concludes this one, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then we have in verse 18, the letter to Thyatira. And the church at Thyatira concludes in verse 29. And the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then you start the third chapter, and you have three more churches in the third chapter. In verse 1 through 6, the church at Sardis, and it ends with, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then you have the letter to Philadelphia, and that one ends in verse 13, and he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then in verse 14, the final letter, the seventh letter, the letter to Laodicea. And in that letter, we conclude with verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, I've taught you many on a number of occasions that these seven letters represent the church age. They represent the time from the resurrection of Christ to the rapture. If you'll look at chapter 4, verse 1, you'll notice there is no eighth church. In chapter 4, verse 1, you have the rapture. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." That's a picture of the rapture of the church. So chapter 2 and chapter 3 deals from the time that Christ went back to heaven and resurrected, went back to heaven. The disciples are in the upper room, and we have the establishment of the church, the growth and the development, spreading of the church. And we are today still living in Revelation 2 and 3. We have been since the Lord ascended and made the promise to the disciples that he would build his church. So we are today in the church age. And these seven churches are recorded here, and we can find so much, we can learn so much about the times, the last 2,000 years. We can learn from these seven churches. It's just amazing the insight that God gives us from these two chapters. But there is a common thread. And you can see something here that I think the Lord really wants us to do, and that is to hear what the Spirit says to the church. I don't think we hear all the Lord wants us to hear. Now, I'm not talking about hearing You know, I'm not talking about this charismatic stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you hearing voices and hearing messages from angels and all that foolishness. I'm not talking about that. It says that if you have ears, you are to hear what the Spirit saith. And I just believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of God wants to teach us and wants to instruct us and guide us a whole lot more than any of us are willing to listen. And we need to learn how to listen with our spiritual ears. Now, we hear a great deal about Spirit-filled preaching. I'm all for that. We hear a great deal about Spirit-filled soul winning, and I'm all for that. We hear a great deal about Spirit-filled singing and Spirit-filled teaching, and I'm for all of it. But I really do think we need to all of us who claim Christ as our Savior, I think every one of us ought to sit down and think about what kind of listening we do to the Holy Spirit. And I think if we would do that, and I honestly believe that we could have some real revival take place in our churches. Spirit-filled listening. Allowing the Spirit of God to help us to hear the message that God wants us to hear. I pray and study through the week and beg the Lord to fill me and to help me when I come in here and preach to you and teach to you on Wednesday nights. And I do not take lightly the responsibility that God has given me to stand before you and open the Bible and preach the Bible. And I was thinking this afternoon, what would happen if every member of our church would just get alone with the Lord before a service and say to the Lord, "Lord, help me today to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say to my heart." And if we came to church with the prayer on our lips that we want the Spirit of God to help us to listen so that we can hear what God's message is to our hearts, I believe that it would change our lives. And I believe that it would change our church. And it would help us to become more of what the Lord would have us to become. Now I want to have you now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read you a couple verses here, and then we'll pray together, and I'll speak to you tonight on having spiritual ears. Chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us," are you listening? "By his Spirit." Do you see how you learn the things of God? By his Spirit. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the way, that lives inside you. The Spirit of God indwells the believer. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now for these scriptures we've read tonight. And I pray you will bless and help us as we think on these things tonight. Lord, I pray that you will indeed give us ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to listen intently and carefully so that we might learn this little truth that would help every believer in this room to be a better servant and to be, have a closer walk with you. Lord, I pray that you will just move in our hearts tonight and give us a desire to want to listen to the things that the Spirit of God desires to teach us. So, Father, help me as I speak. Guide and direct my thoughts, and we'll give you praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's suppose that you came up to me after church and you said, Pastor, why don't you and Karen come over to our house Saturday night for dinner? And I would say, okay, we'll be glad to do that. And so you look at me and you say, well, what would you like to eat? And that would be a mistake right there, I tell you that. I would say, well, I would like to have a porterhouse steak about 2 inches thick, cooked on the grill. And I would like a big baked potato. And I would like a tossed salad and throw in a couple vegetables maybe, and maybe a casserole or something. And some banana pudding with vanilla wafers in it, amen, for dessert. And some iced tea, or, you know. And then on Saturday afternoon, about 40 minutes before I came to your house, I ordered the biggest pizza that Papa John's could bring to my house. And ate half of it and gave Karen the other half, and she'd eat the other half. And then we'd get in the car and come to your house. And when we sat down at the table, you are so thrilled. You are so happy. You have worked and slaved over that dinner. And man, everything is just picture perfect. And that steak is cooked to ideal perfection. And it's all sitting on the table in front of me. And I look over at Karen. Karen looks over at me and she says, I don't think I can eat another bite. And I say, you know, I don't think I could either. I am so full. And you'd look at me and you'd say, you're full. Yeah. What do you mean you're full? You knew we were having dinner at 6 o'clock. Yeah, but we were hungry, and so 5 o'clock we ordered pizza. I guarantee you that'd be the last trip I ever make to your house. Right? That'd be it. You would never invite us back again. And you know, every Sunday and every Wednesday, God has a table that's spread for us called His Word. I sit back in the kitchen and I prepare all week long and beg God to lead me and guide me and give me just exactly what you need and what He wants you to get. And I just wonder how many of us come to the table and we're filled up with other things. We're filled up with what we're going to do after a while. We're filled with what we've got planned for this week, and we're filled with the things that have happened to us the week before. And so when we get to the table, even though the table is spread, we just don't have ears to hear it. We cannot get what the Lord has for us. You know, I think that what we ought to do every Sunday morning and every Sunday afternoon and every Wednesday afternoon is just pray sometime during that time before we come to church and say, Lord, would you just help me to come starving for something from the table tonight? Lord, just fill my cup to overflowing tonight. And let there be something that is going to be delivered from the Word of God that will find lodging in my heart so that I can get what you have for me today. Folks, we need to hear what God has to say to us. And I was reading, what was it, yesterday, this morning? Sometime in the last 100 years, I was reading where Isaiah was talking about the Lord's arm is not shortened. God, you know, the problem is not with the Lord. The problem is with us. And then we just need to say, Lord, give me ears so that I can hear. I went back and read Matthew 13 when the Lord was giving all those parables again about the church. About the church, Matthew 13. You remember about a year ago, about this time last year, we were studying Matthew 13. And over and over and over and over in that chapter, when he's given parables and explaining to his disciples how the church was going to fit into his program. And over and over and over, when talking about the church, just like in Revelation 2, he is talking about having ears to hear what the Spirit says. And folks, I think that we have allowed the devil to so condition us to where when we come to the table, we don't have the appetite that we need to have. Now, why is it necessary to hear what the Spirit has to say? Why do we need Spirit-filled listening in our churches today? Well, I read to you from this passage of Scripture, and the answer is really quite simple. It's right in front of you. We need Spirit-filled listening today because human wisdom cannot grasp the things of God without the Spirit's help. Human wisdom just cannot grasp spiritual things without the Spirit's help. We've all talked to somebody about their soul, about their need to receive Christ, and we've all taken them down the Romans road and tried to tell them and show them their need of Christ, and they just it just like it hits a brick wall and just will not penetrate into their heads. We've all seen people in church that will come in and sit and listen to a sermon. They will come and sit and just sit there through the whole service and hear the exact same thing you heard with their physical ears, but it not faze them one bit because they do not have the capacity to hear with their spiritual ears. And why? Because human wisdom cannot grasp the things of God without the Spirit. Now, we've been studying the life of Christ. And let's think for a minute about what we've learned about the Jews that were on this planet when Christ was here. Let's think for a moment about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders and the scribes and the lawyers and the doctors. All these men that were religionists. Man, they you couldn't call them Christians. They certainly didn't know Christ. You could not call them godly men. They were outwardly righteous, I suppose, but there was no godliness about them. They took pride, though, in their knowledge of the Scriptures. They lived to learn and study the Scriptures. When you go to Israel today and you go to the Temple Mount and there at the Wailing Wall are all of these Hasidic Jews, these Orthodox Jews, and they're standing at the wall and they've got their Old Testament Scriptures. They've got their Bibles in front of them. And they've got their, many of them will read out of an old Hebrew Old Testament. Some of them have prayer books and some of them have the writings of the rabbis and all that, but they're standing right there with in many cases, the Bible in their hands. And they rock back and forth as they stand at that wall and hold those Scriptures and rock back and forth holding those Scriptures, reading the Bible. Just like these Pharisees, during the time of Christ. They took pride in their knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures. They knew all about the prophecies concerning the Messiah. They knew Isaiah 53. They knew it by heart. And they knew Psalm 22. Yet, they did not have the spiritual understanding to see that the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of those Scriptures standing right in front of their eyes. I remind you, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You see, folks, what I'm saying is, to know the Word is not enough. We need the Spirit of God to enlighten us as we read it and as we hear it preached. And a Christian, a child of God, ought to come to the house of God with the same intensity to listen to what God has to say as what I come in here to preach what God has to say. If we came in here as a church and all of us were as intense about listening and hearing what God has to say as what I am about delivering to you what God has to say, I think that God would meet us halfway in the middle and we'd have ourselves a time, don't you? If we had the same intensity that in church as what we have at a ball game. You say, well, you don't have to pay to go to church. Well, we can fix that. if that's what's keeping you from listening, I'll get me some ushers and stand out here with an offering plate, make you pay to come in. I just want you to hear the truth, folks. I just want you to get the Word of God. I don't want you to miss a thing. Could you imagine you're sitting at the Super Bowl? Could you imagine you're sitting at the NBA final game tomorrow night? And you're sitting there going, nodding off to sleep? I don't think so. I think you would be paying attention with every fiber of your being. Every sense would be directed and geared towards what was going on. And folks, that's the way I think we ought to be about coming to church. I mean, God is going to do something if we'll just let Him do it. God wants to do something. And we ought to come to church eager and excited with a prayer on our heart. Holy Spirit of God, what do You have for me today? I tell you, it's no wonder churches are in the mess that they're in. It's no wonder churches are splitting. It's no wonder that churches are filled with carnal and worldly people. It's no wonder that they're opening the doors and inviting the world to come in to keep things going. I tell you, if we had ears to hear what the Spirit said, I don't think we'd have to do that. When I was pastoring in Illinois, I had a guest speaker. His name was Mark Rizzo. Mark Rizzo. Mark was a great, he's a great preacher. Mark is, he runs all the prison ministries out in Illinois. Mark's a character. Man, he's crazy. Fun, great preacher. And I would have Mark down about once a year to preach in our church. And Mark is real fiery, real dynamic, you know, loud. He pounds the pulpit and walks around and kicks everything. It's not tied down. And he's just a great preacher. I mean, just tremendous content to his sermons. Just a tremendous guy. And I had him there to preach. And after the service was over, I called on one of the men to come over and pray. And I said, Mark, you go on back to the back. And so I walked out with him. And Mark, we got out in the hallway and Mark said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I said, well, go ahead and go. So he ran to the bathroom real quick. So I'm standing there at the door. And so help me, this lady walked out of the church. And she was not, there was no problems with this lady. She walked out of the church. She looked me dead in the eyeball, shook my hand and said, preacher, I think that's probably the best sermon I ever heard you preach. I didn't know whether to hug her or smack her, I'll be honest with you. I said, "Thank you, ma'am." And she just kept right on walking. And Mark came back and he said, "Did I miss anything?" I said, "Go back to the bathroom. I don't even want to see you." So help me, folks, that happened. That actually happened. Something wrong. Something wrong when we don't hear what God has to say. I've preached before, and folks have gone home, and then they've gotten mad because they thought I had said something which, if they had been listening, they would have heard what I said. And then there's been oodles of times where I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, thank you for what you taught me today." And I learned years ago to say, "Oh yeah, what did I teach you?" And then they'll tell me what I taught them. And I stand there and kind of chuckle on the inside, because the truth of the matter is, I didn't know that either. The Holy Spirit was the one that maybe used one phrase or one verse or one illustration, and it was the Spirit of God who taught them that lesson that they needed to learn when they came to church. And there have been times when I've gone back and taken my notes and said, "Now, where was that in this sermon? I don't remember teaching." Because it wasn't there. It was not me that did it. But they were listening with their spiritual ears, and the Spirit of God was teaching what they needed to learn. Brethren, I'm saying to you that every time you come to the house of God, every time you hear a message, every time you hear a Sunday school lesson, every time you sit down and read your Bible, every time you hear the choir sing, every time you have a solo or a duet or whatever, there is a lesson, there is a message, there is something that God can use to teach and instruct you and help you in your Christian life. We just need ears to hear. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians, of course, but Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to look, please, at verse 1. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Who is that?
Satan.
All right, now let me ask you a question. How does my voice get from my throat to your ears? Through the what? Through the air. My voice gets from my throat to your ears through the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Don't you find it a little strange that the one who desires to ruin your Christian life, the one who desires to keep you squashed under his thumb, the one who desires for you never to win a soul, the one who desires for you to be mad at me, the one who desires for you to be mad at God, the one who desires for you to be mad at your brother? Hey, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, in that ye love one another." But boy, we use that voice and we use that tongue and we use that our English language and we do yak, 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 yak. And did you hear what she said? And did you hear what he said? And boy, I'm telling you, the devil sits back and laughs his full head off at us. If we'd listen half as much as we talk, we'd be spiritual giants. How does my voice get from my throat to your ears? It goes through the air. And who's the prince of the power of the air? It's the devil. Folks, listen. We need to have ears to hear what God says, what God has to say. God wants to teach you something every single time you come to church. Man, I love coming to church. I love sitting in church. I enjoy it. I don't get to do it very much, but I enjoy it. Most time I'm doing the preaching. But I'm looking forward, in a couple of weeks, the National Sword Conference is coming up, and I'm looking forward to just being able to sit down in the seat and let somebody take the Word of God and preach to me and show me more about this book. Of course, I really won't be able to enjoy it a whole lot until Thursday night's over with, because that's when I preach at the National Sword Conference, is Thursday night. I told Dr. Smith, "Won't you put me on Monday night? Just get this thing over with, and I can enjoy the conference the rest of the week. Got to put me on Thursday night." And I sit there and say, "Oh, no, he's going to preach the sermon that I've got. I know he is." Doesn't make you a nervous wreck. Every Christian ought to train himself just to get alone with the Lord and say, "Lord, give me ears to hear." Somebody asked me the other day, and I guess they asked me because, it's getting to that place where I guess I'm going to have to say something about it again. But getting up and walking out of the service. Does that bother you when people get up and walk out of the service? Here's what I do. If you get up over on this side, I turn this way. Of course it bothers me. But you know why it bothers me? It bothers me because when you get up, everybody acts like they've never seen anybody ever get up in church before in their life. You know? I mean, you get up and everybody in the place just zeroes in on you. And it's like they got to watch you walk from wherever you are to wherever you're going. I mean, people will actually turn around to see. You know? It's amazing. Somebody can get up over here on this side of the balcony, and somebody over on this side of the balcony takes their eyes off me and watches them go all the way across and all the way up and all the way out the back. And then when the door clicks shut, then they turn back around. What bothers me is what you're going to miss. What you're going to miss. You've seen it, and I've seen it. Saw it yesterday. Get right down to where you've, you know, like you got the hook in the water. You know, you got that lure in the water, and that big old bass has come out from under that log. And man, he's seeing, he's watching it. And he's got that mouth open like that. Get right down to where the fish is ready to bite. And the baby starts crying. The phones start ringing. You know, somebody has a coughing spell. We're fine for 40 minutes. Get right down to where you got that lure right in front of that fish's mouth. Folks, the devil knows his business. And it doesn't bother me. Really, I mean, I know people get coughing spells. I've done that myself. It's really awful when you're the one preaching and you get a coughing spell. But I understand. I'm just wanting you to realize that the devil knows his business. And I remember years ago we had this lady in our church had a baby boy. That little kid was like 10 pounds when he was born. He was a horse, man. Came out with a full beard, the whole nine, you know. Oh, he was just a big old kid. And he had the loudest voice. When that kid started to cry, I mean, the whole neighborhood knew that this kid was on the premises. And inevitably, on Sunday morning, that little fella would lay there in his mama's arms and would just be as quiet as a church mouse. And as soon as I got down to where I was reeling in the fish, get right down to the heart of the invitation, And it was just like the devil reached down with a great big old stick pin and just, boom! And his little old arms would fly out and that mouth would fly open and everybody in the building would turn and look. The devil knows what he's doing, folks. And it really doesn't bother me because people move around. I know sometimes you got to do that. But what bothers me is that they're not getting what the Lord has laid on my heart to give. That's what bothers me. Folks, when God's man gets up to preach God's word to God's people, I just think everything ought to stop and we ought to listen. Now, what will it do for us? What will it do for us? If we just made up our minds, we're going to praise the Lord. Give me ears to hear. Lord, help me to hear. Help me to hear. What will it do for us? I got a sermon somewhere. I've entitled that sermon, How to Fire the Preacher. How to Fire the Preacher. And the thesis of the sermon is not what you think. The thesis of the sermon is this. If a church would fire the preacher, then they wouldn't have to fire the preacher. Right? If the church would fire up the preacher, they wouldn't have to fire the preacher. If the members of the church would just put a prayer under their preacher, put a fire under their preacher by prayer and by support and love and work and faithfulness and having a spirit-filled life, if God's people would just fire up the preacher, there'd be no stopping that church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says that they were all in one accord. They were united. Their hearts were together. And brethren, we need to be all in one accord when it comes to this matter of serving God. Me as the pastor and you as you listen. Years ago when I was in college. Let's see, I think that was my junior year of college. There were about six of us that were on a preaching team. It was a karate team, and I did most of the preaching, most of it, not all of it, but most of it. And Dr. Stenholm sent me a slip in my box and said, "Please come and see me immediately about a ministry opportunity this weekend." So I ran up to his office And he said, this church called from down below Augusta, Georgia. And he said, it's a black church. And they want somebody to come down and preach for them this weekend. Their pastor got sick. And he said, why don't you just take the team down there? You guys, all of you go. And he said, you'll have a blast. He said, I know these folks. He said, they're good folks. He said, they run about 200, 250. And he said, I'm telling you, you will have a blast. And I said, okay, sure. So I called the fellow up and told him that we were all coming and could he get rooms for us? And he said, yes. And so they put us up in homes and fed us and just treated us like royalty. We had a blast at that church. And I never will get over preaching in that church. On Sunday morning, we had Sunday school, and then we had the church service. And I was scheduled to preach. And the chairman of the deacon board introduced me, and he turned around to me, and he said, "Now, brother, you quits when God tells you to quit." Amen. I like that. Nobody had ever told me that before. And to be honest with you, nobody's ever told me that since. And I noticed, George, be quiet, would you please? And I noticed that they had this little bench. They had a piano over here and had this little bench. And several men got up as I was making my way to the pulpit. And they came over and got on that bench. You know what that bench was? That was the Amen bench. And I said, open your Bibles. And one of them said, Amen. I said, I'm going to like this. I said, now the Bible says, Amen. And before it was all said and done, I had them in a froth. They had me in a froth. I preached on every sin that I could think of. And then when the invitation was given, they all came and confessed every sin that I had preached on. It was a wonderful service. And then I came back to my home church, and my pastor said, you want to preach Sunday night? Yeah. Oh, man, I was all pumped up and excited, and I was going to preach the same sermon that I preached down south. And I got up and announced my text, and nobody even grunted. And I read the scripture, and nobody said a word. And I preached through the introduction, and it was like we were all in the funeral home. And I thought to myself, man, what are we missing? What are we missing? Folks, I tell you, I think what we're missing is the fact that we get too comfortable and we get in a rut, we get in a routine, we get in a ritual of going to church without stopping to realize that it is a privilege and an honor to be able to come to the house of God where God's man opens the Bible and delivers a message from the Word of God. And man, we ought to just say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to instruct me and teach me and help me. We need the Spirit to walk with us. We need the Spirit to lead us. We need the Spirit of God to convict us. We need the Spirit of God to help us. We need the Spirit of God to give us ears that we might hear what God has to say. Spirit-filled listening. If we would just become Spirit-filled listeners, there'd be no stopping the work of God. Absolutely nothing Satan can hurl at us would harm us, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And I think that's neat. In Matthew 13, you got these parables about the church, and Jesus talks about hearing what the Spirit says. And then you get to Revelation 2 and 3, and there's a discussion about the church, and Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. May God help us to be Spirit-filled listeners. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word. And Father, I pray that you will give us ears to hear. Lord, it is so vital and so important that we hear from you every time we come to church. Lord, we need to understand that you have something for us every time we gather in your name. Lord, there is something that you want to teach our hearts. And I pray that you'll give us a determination. Give us a burden that, Lord, this coming Sunday, we'll not just get up and at the last minute and then rush and get angry because everybody's not ready, and then fuss all the way to the car and fuss all the way down the road and then come into church and put on our church face. But Lord, give us a desire to want to maybe get up a little bit early and just spend some time with you and pray and say, Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit saith. And Lord, you've led the pastor and you've given him a message, and he's going to be standing before us to deliver that message. Father, give me ears to hear it. Oh, Lord, do something in our hearts and give us that kind of heart that we want to hear what the Spirit has to say. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.